Farewell, My Lovely, by Raymond Chandler. Dramatized for radio by Bill Morrison. With Ed Bishop as Philip Marlowe. Farewell, My Lovely. California, 1939.
It was one of those mixed blocks over on Central Avenue, the blocks that are not yet all Negro. I just come out of a three-chair barber shop where an agency thought a relief barber named Demetrius Aliidis might be working. It was a small matter. His wife said she was willing to spend a little money to have him come home. I never found him, but Mrs. Aliidis never paid me any money either. Outside the barbershop, a man was standing looking up at the neon sign of a second-floor dine-and-dice emporium called Florian's. Slim, quiet Negroes passed up and down the street and stared at him. He was worth looking at. He was a big man, but not more than 6 feet 5 inches tall and not wider than a beer truck. He wore a Borsellino hat, a rough gray sports coat with white golf balls for buttons, a brown shirt, a yellow tie and show handkerchief. There were a couple of colored feathers tucked into the band of his hat, but he didn't really need them. Even on Central Avenue, he looked about as inconspicuous as a tarantula on a slice of angel food. He moved across to the double swing doors which shut off the stairs to the second floor and pushed inside. The doors swung back outward and almost settled to a stop. Then they opened again, violently. Something sailed across the sidewalk and landed in the gutter. It made a high, keening noise like a cornered rat. It wasn't any of my business. So I walked over to the double doors. A hand I could have sat in came out of the dimness and took hold of my shoulder.
Talk to me. There are smokes in here, huh? Tie that for me, pal.
It's a Negro place. What did you expect?
Don't say that, pal. Velma used to work here. Little Velma. I ain't seen her in 8 years. You say this here is a smokes joint?
Yeah.
He let go of my shoulder. The bone didn't seem to be broken.
I'm feeling good. I wouldn't want anybody to fuss with me. Let you and me go on up and maybe nibble a couple.
They won't serve you.
I ain't seen Velma in 8 years. 8 long years since I said goodbye. She ain't wrote to me in 6, but she'll have a reason. Let you and me go on up, huh?
All right. Just lay off carrying me, huh? Let me walk. I'm all grown up. I go to the bathroom alone and everything. Just don't carry me.
Lil Velma used to work here.
No white folks, brother. Just for the colored people. I'm sorry.
Where's Velma at?
No Velma here, brother. No hoosh, no gals, no nothing. Just for the scram, white boy. Just for the scram.
But Velma used to work here.
Sure, Velma used to work here. She don't work here no more. She done retired.
Some guys has got wrong ideas about when to get tough. Let you and me nibble one. Whiskey sour. Call yours.
Whiskey sour?
Yes, sir. Coming up, sir.
You know where Velma is?
I ain't seen it.
Well, how long you been here?
About 10 months.
Well, how long's this coop been a smokes joint?
5 years, anyway. And nobody here would know anything about a white girl.
Who the hell asked you to stick your face in?
Hey, I'm the fellow that came in with you, remember?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember. Hey, 2 more whiskey sour.
Sure.
And shake them fleas out of your pants.
Yes, sure.
There was a little stage and a band. Oh, Velma did some warbling.
A redhead she was. She was cute as lace pants. We was to have been married when they hung the frame on me.
What frame?
With the great band Bank Job. Malloy is the name. They call me Moose Malloy. On account of I'm large. Where'd you figure I'd been them 8 years?
Catching butterflies?
40 grand. Solo job. Ain't that something?
Wow. You're gonna spend it now you're out, huh?
Where's the boss man? He might know about my little Velma.
Oh, he's got his office through that door.
Well, two more the same. I'll be back and play some music like old times.
Now, don't reach for it. What have you got down there behind the bar?
I got me a side-off shotgun.
Hey, that's illegal. Now, listen. You and I are together.
I thought you was with him.
I never saw him before. He asked me up here. I didn't feel like being thrown over any houses.
Jeez.
What?
Don't nobody try the fancy pants. Freeze the mitts on the bar.
The boss didn't know where Velma was, neither. He tried to tell me with this 45.
So long, punks. I gotta catch a streetcar.
You didn't pay for the drinks.
Well, maybe you got something there, but I wouldn't squeeze it too hard.
Smokes. Another smoke killing. No picks, no space, not even four lines in the want ad section. After 18 years in this man's police department, that's what I rate. Philip Marlowe, private investigator. One of those guys, huh? What was you doing all that time?
All what time?
All the time Malloy was twisting the neck of this smoke.
Oh, that happened in another room. And Malloy hadn't promised me he was going to break anybody's neck.
Oh, ride me. Okay, go ahead and ride me. Everybody else does. Don't you pack no rod?
Not on the kind of job I was on. He just picked me up. I'm kind of cute sometimes.
You seem to pick up awful easy.
I've seen the guy, and you haven't, Nulty. He could wear us for a watch charm. Oh, you'll get him all right. With that size and the clothes.
Whoa, I'll get him about the time I get my third set of teeth. It's a smoke killing. They got the call out on him now, probably at the end of the hot car list. Yeah, ain't nothing to do but just wait.
Well, try looking for the girl.
Well, you try her. I ain't been in a joy house for 20 years.
Okay.
I was only kidding. Hey, wait a minute. You might pick something up. You can work under glass.
Well, what's in it for me?
You've been in jams with us boys before. Next time, it ain't doing you any harm to have a pal.
Is this for love, Nulty? Or are you paying anything in money?
I'm needing a little credit bad myself. I wouldn't forget it, pal.
Nothing made it my business except curiosity. But strictly speaking, I hadn't any business in a month. I bought a pint of bourbon and walked across Central to the Hotel Sans Souci. The clerk seemed to be peacefully asleep.
Can I help you, sir?
Well, I'll call your play. I'll read you a chapter of the Bible or buy you a drink.
Brother, I kind of like to read the Bible in the seclusion of my family. But I is pleased to take a light snifter in your company. Yes, sir. This liquor comes out of the correct bottle. In what manner can I be of service to you?
When Florian's was a white joint, what was its name?
Electric signs come kind of dear, brother.
Now, who ran it?
Poor sinner named Mike Florian.
Now, what happened to him?
Gathered to the Lord, 1934. Wasted life, brother. Case of pickled kidneys. But mercy waits for him up yonder. Damned if I know why.
Have another drink.
Your method of approach is soothing to a man's dignity.
Yes, sir.
Left a widow. Name of Jesse.
Oh, where is she?
Try the phone book, brother. Try the phone book.
Mrs. Florian? Mrs. Jessie Florian?
What do you want?
I want to ask you about your husband.
He's been dead 5 years. Who did you say you was?
I'm a detective. I'd like a little information.
Ain't had time to get cleaned up yet. Come on. Through here. The radio's all the company I got.
Is that the newest model? Expensive. Loud.
The way I like it. Mike ain't done nothing new, has he? A joke, that was. I hope there's enough cheap blondes where he is. He never got enough of them here.
I was thinking more of a redhead. A girl named Velma. I'm trying to trace her for her folks.
Her folks taking their time getting round to it.
Well, there's a little money involved. Money sharpens the memory.
So does liquor.
Oh, would you care for some bourbon, Mrs. Florian?
You ain't no copper. No copper ever bought that stuff. What's the gag, mister?
This Velma was a singer. You wouldn't know her?
Man, that is liquor. Just pour again, careful, mister. This ain't no time to drop nothing. Now, what was we talking about?
Velma.
I remember her. Nice legs. And generous with them. I shouldn't ought a barber with you, but a guy that buys me a drink is a pal. Hold on to your chair and don't step on no snakes. A joke, that was old. Here. Now, look them over. All them entertainers had display photos. They're all the bastard left me.
I wouldn't know any of these.
Ain't you got a photo of her from her folks?
No.
I ain't beginning to like you again. Hey, leave that alone.
Sit down. You're not dealing with a lug like Moose Malloy this time.
The Moose? What about him?
He's loose. Out of jail. He killed a man over on Central this morning. He's looking for the fink that turned him in 8 years ago. Ah, this is it. Velma Valento. Now, why hide this photo?
She's dead. Now, beat it.
That still doesn't say why you hit it.
I am a poor, sick old woman. You get away from me, you son of a bitch.
Help yourself to the whiskey, Mrs. Florian.
When I came out onto West 54th Place, a window curtain moved in the next house. Old Nosy, checking up on the neighbors. There's always at least one to a block. I waved a hand at her. I was a swell guy. I enjoyed being me. I liked getting old women drunk. You find almost anything under your hand in my business, but I was beginning to be a little sick to my stomach. I went back to the office and looked at Rembrandt. Well, he was on the calendar that year. His face was aging, saggy, full of the disgust of life and the thickening effects of liquor. But it had a hard cheerfulness that I liked, and the eyes were as bright as drops of dew. Marlowe?
You are Philip Marlowe, a private detective.
Check.
You have been recommended to me as a man who can be trusted to keep his mouth shut. I should like you to come to my house at 7 o'clock this evening. We can discuss a matter. My name is Lindsay Marriott.
Uh-huh.
Are you particular about the nature of the employment?
Not as long as it's legitimate.
I should not have called you if it were not.
A Harvard boy. Nice use of the subjunctive mood. The end of my foot itched, but my bank account was still trying to crawl under a duck. I thought Mr. Rembrandt had a faint sneer on his face. I got the office bottle out and took a drink. That took the sneer out of Mr. Rembrandt in a hurry. On my way, I bought an evening paper. Nulty was right. The killing hadn't even made the want ad section.
Yes? What is it?
7 o'clock, on the dot.
Oh, yes. Let me see. Your name is...
Philip Marlowe. The same as it was this afternoon.
Yes. Come in, Marlowe.
Thank you.
What I wish to see you about is a very slight matter. I am meeting a couple of men tonight and paying them some money. Do you carry a gun?
At times.
Well, I shan't want you to carry that.
I hardly ever shoot anybody.
I'm meeting these men in a rather lonely place. I don't know where yet. I expect a call tonight.
You've been making this deal some time?
3 or 4 days.
You left your bodyguard problem until pretty late. This a matter of blackmail?
Certainly not. I'm acting for a friend.
Okay. How much money and what for?
$100 for a few hours of your time. Some jewels were taken from a friend of mine in a holdup, and I'm buying them back. Have you ever heard of Fay Sweet Jade?
No.
Well, it's the only really valuable kind. A friend of mine owns a necklace worth $80,000 or $90,000. I'd driven my friend to an evening party, and we were on our way back to her home. A car brushed the left front fender and stopped, as I thought, to apologize. Instead, it was a very quick and very neat holdup. 3 or 4, ma'am. They only took certain items and said to wait for a phone call before reporting to the police or the insurance company. Well, there's plenty of that sort of thing going on. Mm-hmm. If they happen to be rare pieces, you'd rather pay the ransom. Well, she shouldn't have worn it out, ever. But she's a reckless sort of woman.
How much ransom?
$8,000.
I ought to walk away from this job, Marriott. If the boys want to play ball, you don't need me. If they don't, I can't do anything about it.
All I want is your company. I'm not much of a hero.
All I want is $100. I like to feel money.
Excuse me. Marriott. Yes. So where should we meet? These lights are off to the right at the Belvedere Beach Club. When you get to the top of the hill, turn left.
You stay down in the back. From a distance, we might look alike. If anybody gets conked, it might as well be me.
That's Purissima Canyon. Oh, it's a bad road.
Yeah. Any people around here?
No. Now, when you reach the end, there's a park walled off from the road by a white fence. But there should be room to squeeze by. There's a hollow there. Oh, there's the fence.
Keep your head down.
Oh, the car's too wide. You won't get past the fence.
Stay down. I'm going down to have a look-see. Afterwards, I thought I might have heard the swish of a sap. Maybe you always think that. Afterwards, I felt like an amputated leg. It was 10:56, and we got there 10:35. Give me a minute to fall down and hit the ground with my face. 10:56. I'd been out for 20 minutes. Okay, 21. I was caught square in the lights.
All right, you. Come out of there with your hands up and very damned empty. You're covered.
Put it up or I'll blow it out of your hand.
Oh, a hard-boiled gentleman. Listen, stranger, I'm holding a 10-shot automatic. What do you bid?
I talk too much, but I'm scared, too.
Don't move. Who are you?
Let's see your gun.
You stay right there.
Oh, that's a toy. It doesn't either hold 10 shots. That's a butterfly gun. Shame on you for telling a deliberate lie like that.
Are you crazy?
I've been sapped. I might be a little goofy.
Is that your car?
Who are you?
I get it. You ask the answers. He-Man stuff. Look, I'm going to point my flashlight over there. I want to show you something.
Marion.
Don't move.
He might not be dead.
Oh, he is, with his brains on his face. I saw him in the headlights as I came round. What's the story, mister?
Hold the flash on him.
Oh, you shouldn't touch him till the police come.
That's liable to be a couple of hours out here. My name is Marlowe. I'm a private investigator.
All right. I suppose you're always right. I guess you must be that kind of person. Didn't you know him?
No. Honey met him tonight. He hired me for a bodyguard.
Some bodyguard. Hey, what's that?
Some kind of fancy cigarettes in a case.
Oh, do you suppose those could be jujus? I knew a guy once who smoked jujus. 3 highballs and 3 sticks of tea, and it took a pipe wrench to get him off the chandelier.
High-class boys. They only took the large money off him. What's your name?
Reardon. Ann Reardon. And don't call me Annie.
What are you doing around here?
Sometimes at night I go driving. I'm just restless. I live alone.
You take some awful chances, Miss Reardon.
I had a gun. I wasn't afraid.
Sure.
My father was a cop. I write a little. Newspapers.
Any money in it?
Very damn little.
Well, now I have to go to the cops and eat dirt. Will you take me to my car?
I'll take you to the cops.
No. I'll play it along.
My story might help you.
No.
Why not?
I just feel it that way. I'll play it solo.
He was a quiet man with cold eyes. His name was Randall, and he was from Central Homicide in Los Angeles. He wasn't happy with me or my story. He gave me 24 hours to come up with a better one. He particularly didn't like the fact that I had searched the body. I particularly didn't like the fact that the cigarette case with the fancy cigarettes was empty when he showed it to me. I was on my 4th cup of coffee in the morning when Nulty came to call.
You look as green as a new dollar bill.
Did you get Malloy?
He went to see that Florian woman. We got a call from some old window peeker. He is in about 5 minutes, and when he comes out, he has a big gat in his hand. That's why she calls. She don't hear no shots, though.
That must have been a big disappointment for her.
Yeah, a nifty. The prowl boys go down there, nobody's home. Then an hour later, the old lady calls again and says Mrs. Florian came home.
I'm glad to hear it.
Now, you got along pretty good with that Florian dame, getting the picture from her and all. Maybe if you just...
Oh, I have a headache.
Okay, pal. If that's the way you feel about it...
I don't
feel
any way about it. I just don't have any time to stooge for any cops.
Things is tough. I need a break, pal.
You're not alone. The moose is loose, Nulty. Go find him.
She was waiting for me in the little reception room I leave unlocked, in case a client wants to wait. Her hair in daylight was pure auburn, and she wore a hat with a crown the size of a whiskey glass and a brim you could have wrapped a week's laundry in. It was a nice face, a face you could get to like. Pretty, but not so pretty that you would have to wear brass knuckles every time you took it out.
I gather that your secretary isn't here today.
I don't have a secretary.
Well, I should think you'd want somebody to answer the phone. And once in a while send your curtains out to the cleaners.
Have a chair, Miss Reardon.
Thanks. How's your head?
Poorly.
Were the police nice to you?
About the way they always are.
I'm not keeping you from anything important, am I?
No.
All the same, I don't think you're very pleased to see me.
I tried to leave you out of it. I don't know why, exactly.
You didn't think the police would believe curiosity took me down into that canyon last night and that they'd hammer me until I was a wreck.
Maybe I think the same thing.
Then why did you cover up for me? Was it on account of my reddish hair and my beautiful figure? He didn't offer me one.
Oh, sorry. It's only 11 o'clock. I didn't think you looked the type.
Is that a compliment?
In my circle, yes.
I better give you my information and go home. Would you like to know who that jade necklace belonged to?
I didn't say anything to you about a jade necklace.
No, I know. I'm just a damned inquisitive wench. I went to see Lieutenant Randall this morning.
Somebody ought to sew buttons on his face.
Then it occurred to me that a necklace like that would be a museum piece and would be well known. So I went to Blocks, the jeweler's, and told the manager I was a writer and wanted to do a magazine article.
So he believed your red hair and your beautiful figure.
Well, he told me anyway. It belongs to Mrs. Lewin Lockridge Grail. Her husband is an investment banker or something, worth about $20 million. He used to own a radio station in Beverly Hills, and Mrs. Grail used to work there. He married her 5 years ago. She's a ravishing blonde. He stays at home and takes calomel, while Mrs. Grail goes places and has a good time. I got all that from Giddy Gertie Arbogast.
Of course.
Giddy Gertie is the society editor of the Chronicle. I've known him for years. Say, you wouldn't want to hire an assistant, would you? Not if it only cost you a kind word now and then.
No.
I thought probably you wouldn't.
I haven't had any breakfast.
I thought you drank it. You're not going to turn into one of those drunken detectives, are you?
Why not? They always solve their cases, and they never even sweat. Let's go down to the corner and eat.
Anyway, I called up Mrs. Grail and gave her the song and dance I'd given the nice man at Blocks. It didn't take. She sounded as if she had a hangover. And then I asked if I might see the necklace. She said, what for? Then I said I was working for Philip Marlowe. She said, so what? Just like that.
Incredible. But all the society dames talk like tramps nowadays.
The funny thing was, she hadn't hung up on me.
She may have heard from the cops.
No, I called Lieutenant Randall later, and he was quite surprised I'd found out who owned the necklace.
He'll get used to you. He'll have to.
So I said to Mrs. Grail, you'd still like it back, wouldn't you? Just like that. So then I had to tell her the story. She didn't like it, but she'd been wondering why she hadn't heard from Marriott. So I'm to see her at 2 o'clock today. Well, then I'll tell her all about you and how nice and discreet you are and how you'd be a good man to help her get it back.
Oh.
Well, what's the matter? Did I do right?
This is a police case. I've been warned to stay off it.
Well, Mrs. Grail has a perfect right to employ you if she wants to.
Well, if it comes from her, Randall can't stop me.
Good. I'll go and get some more dope on the Grails about her love life. Oh, she would have one, wouldn't she?
Who hasn't?
I never have. Not really. I'll call you.
You've forgotten something.
What?
You know damn well what. 3 fancy cigarettes.
I know I shouldn't have taken them. Here.
Thanks. You ought to have taken the cigarette case, too. There was dust in it. They'll have it analyzed.
I thought it was kind of mean for the poor man to be found dead with marijuana cigarettes in his pocket. I shouldn't have done it. I'll see you later, Mr. Marlowe.
I went back to the office and got my penknife out. They were made up like Russian cigarettes with a mouthpiece. The mouthpiece part was pretty hard to slit. Okay, I was a tough guy. I slit it anyway. There was printing on the inside. I worked on another one and got a thin rolled-up card out in one piece. A calling card. Jules Amthor, psychic consultant, Stillwood Heights. Psychic consultant. A fake-a-loo artist, a hoopla spreader, and a lad who had his card rolled up inside sticks of tea found on a dead man. This was going to be good.
Hello?
May I speak to Mr. Amthor?
I am very sorry. Mr. Amthor never speaks upon the telephone. Will I take the message?
I want to see him.
When? He's very busy.
Today?
Oh, that cannot be. The next week, perhaps, I will look at the book.
I want to see him about a man named Marriott. I want to see him fast. F-A-S-T. Sudden, in other words.
You talk very strange.
Mr. Amthor will positively want to see me. I gave her my number, and in 10 minutes she called back. Mr. Amthor would send a car for me at 6 o'clock. I nodded to Rembrandt and was reaching for my hat when the thought hit me.
But you owe me a favor, Joe.
You could have asked me to tell a blonde for you. Okay, this is the title deed. West 54th Place, owner of record, Jesse Florian, widow. Subject to certain things.
What things?
The first trustee of $2,600.
Yeah? $1,500 would buy the place.
In that neighborhood. The refinancing was done 4 years ago.
Who holds it? An investment company?
Nope. An individual name of Lindsay Marriott.
Thanks.
Is there a blonde in the case?
Oh, I'm meeting her this afternoon. They tell me she would make a bishop kick a hole in a stained glass window.
Tell her you have a friend. She won't like your manners.
I went down to see Randall like a good boy should. He confirmed Ann Reardon's story and warned me off the case. Then I drove to Jesse Florian's place. It looked empty. I saw the curtain move next door.
Yes?
Afternoon. Are you the lady who called the police about Mrs. Florian?
I ain't saying I am. I ain't saying I ain't. Who are you?
I'm a detective.
What's she done now?
You saw the big man yesterday?
Sure enough, I did.
That man's a murderer.
Oh, land's sakes!
What do you know about Mrs. Florian?
She ain't neighborly. Blaze a radio loud late nights. My opinion is she drinks liquor. You've been drinking liquor.
I just had a tooth out. The dentist gave it to me. She had many visitors?
None at all.
Well, you'd know, Mrs.
Mrs. Morrison. Land sakes, yes. What else I gotta do but look out the windows?
And what does she live on? Relief?
This ain't a relief neighborhood. Gets a registered letter the first of every month. Dresses up then, goes out. Don't come home till all hours.
Mrs. Morrison, you're one in a thousand.
Tomorrow's the first. The first of April. April Fool's Day.
Now I'll ask the ushers to come down the aisles and make sure...
I found Mrs. Florian in bed. All she had for company was the radio. The room had a sickening smell of cheap liquor.
Busting open a special packet of fireworks.
You ought to keep your house locked up.
Did you get him?
The moose? Not yet.
You think I'm scared of Malloy?
You acted like it yesterday.
Got any liquor?
Not today.
Gin's cheap. It hits.
What are you afraid of?
Oh, beat it. You coppers give me an ache in the fanny.
Where would Malloy be? I like the moose. Wanted his Velma pretty bad. Where did she die?
Dalhart, Texas.
Who told you?
Some hoofer. A drink would help. Oh, I feel like Death Valley.
Who's Lindsay Marriott?
But I used to work for him. A servant to his family. He kind of takes care of me a little.
You and I could work together. I don't think you'll get a registered letter tomorrow morning. Think it over, Mrs. Florian.
Beat it. Oh, I'm sick.
The moose was looking for whoever turned him in 8 years ago. I was looking at $20 million. The houses were great, silent estates with 12-foot walls and wrought iron gates. And inside, a special brand of sunshine put up in noise-proof containers just for the upper classes. A man in a dark blue Russian tunic and flaring breeches stood by the gate. I told him Mrs. Lewin Lockridge Grail had invited me to call. He let me in. The house itself was not so much. It was smaller than Buckingham Palace. Three people sat in a sudden silence, watching me cross the floor. One was Ann Reardon. One was a tall, sad-faced man. He was a good 60, or rather a bad 60. The third was the blonde. Whatever you needed, wherever you happened to be, she had it.
So nice of you to come. This is my husband.
Mr. Grail.
Mix Mr. Marlowe a drink, honey.
Of course. Scotch and soda, Mr. Marlowe.
Well,
do sit down, Mr. Marlowe.
Thanks.
Do you think you can do anything for us? I hope you can.
I don't know very much about the case.
How far did Lynn Marriott take you into his confidence?
Your drink, Mr. Marlowe.
Oh, thanks.
Do you have to bother with this, honey?
I'm very glad to have met you, Mr. Marlowe. I think I'll go and lie down for a while. I hope you'll excuse me, Miss Reardon.
Mr. Grail?
Miss Reardon is in your confidence, of course, Mr. Marlowe.
She happens to know about it, yes.
Then the hell with this politeness. Push that table over here, will you, honey, so that I can reach the drinks.
My pleasure.
You're a very good-looking man to be in your sort of racket. Is there any money in it?
Not much money. A lot of grief.
Here. Have a real drink.
I think I should go.
Heavens, you're not leaving.
I don't work for Mr. Marlowe, you know. Just a friend. Goodbye, Mrs. Grail.
I hope you'll drop in again soon.
Goodbye, Mr. Marlowe.
It's much better this way, don't you think? Drink up.
This is the kind of liquor you think you can drink forever, and all you do is get reckless.
You're not fooling me a damn bit. You better sit over here beside me.
Well, I've been thinking that ever since you crossed your legs.
These damn skirts are always up around your neck. Do you do much of this sort of thing?
I'm a Tibetan monk in my spare time.
Only you don't have any spare time. Pour us another drink. Poor Lynn. He was rather a heel, but to die like that is awful.
He paid me $100 to take care of him. I didn't. Makes me feel guilty. Makes me want to cry. Shall I cry? Did he ever borrow money from you?
It's obvious, isn't it? He was a high-class blackmailer. He lived on women and liked men.
Oh. You have something on you?
Should I tell you?
It probably wouldn't be wise.
I got a little tight at his house once. Passed out. He took some photos of me with my clothes up to my neck.
The dirty dog. Have you got any of them handy?
Mm-hmm. What's your name?
Phil. What's yours?
Helen. Kiss me.
I beg your pardon, I'm sure.
Who was that?
Mr. Grail.
No, forget him. It's all right. He understands. Oh, what the hell can he expect? All right, make it tonight. At the Belvedere Club, 10 o'clock.
Is that a good place?
Laird Burnett owns it. I know him pretty well. What's the matter, honey?
Oh, nothing. 10 o'clock. Don't be too magnificent. All I have is a dinner suit. It was 6 o'clock. The Indian smelled. He stood just inside the door, looking as if he had been cast in bronze. He was a big man. His hat was at least two sizes too small. He wore it about where a house wears a wind vane. Cleaned up a little and dressed in a white nighty, he would have looked a very wicked Roman senator.
Come, quick. Come now.
Come where?
Me, second planting. Great white father say, come quick. He say, me bring you in fiery chariot. He say,
cut
you
the pig
come.
Latin.
Nuts.
Okay, what does he want?
You come quick. Come in fiery
nuts.
Chariot.
Nuts. It will cost him $100 as a retainer. Me no money, me no come me.
You open um envelope.
100 fish. Psychic is right. A guy that smart I'm afraid of.
Mark that all day. Got him car.
I got him own car.
You come my car.
I come your car. The house stood like an eagle's nest on the heights. A swell place for a psychic consultant. Nobody would be able to hear any screams. We went up in a small elevator. Such smelling as the Indian had done before was a moon-cast shadow to what he was doing now. The room was octagonal, draped in black velvet. On an octagonal table sat a milk-white globe on a black stand.
Please be seated, opposite me. Do not smoke and do not fidget. Try to relax completely. Now, how may I serve you?
$100. I can't take it till I find out what the job is first.
Please do not fidget. It breaks the waves, disturbs my concentration.
Then concentrate on some cigarettes.
The answer is simple. There are things I do not know. This is one of them.
They were in the pocket of a man named Lindsay Marriott. Ever hear of him?
I tried at one time to treat him for camera shyness. He was trying to get into pictures. It was a waste of time.
I'll bet. He would photograph like Isadora Duncan. Couldn't you get the chief to go take a bath?
He's a natural medium. They are rare like diamonds, and like diamonds are sometimes found in dirty places.
I bet that makes the dowagers shed their false teeth. What does he do for real money, huh? Sit on your knee and sing French songs?
Get to the point, please.
Last night, Marriott hired me to go on an expedition to pay some money to some crooks. I got knocked on the head. Marriott got murdered. The cigarettes with your calling card were found on him.
But not by the police. I take it the $100 was hardly enough.
That depends on what you expect to buy with it.
Do you have these cigarettes with you?
They don't prove anything. Did you ever meet a Mrs. Grail?
I treated her centers of speech. She had a slight impediment.
Well, you did a sweet job. She talks as good as I do now. What I like about this job, everybody knows everybody.
Blackmail I do not pay, Mr. Marlowe.
Marriott was the blackmailer. And the finger man for a jewel mob. But who told him what women to cultivate so he could tell the boys where to do the snatch, huh?
Amateur! Dirty little man. Dirty little world. Second planning. Let him breathe. A little. Where are the cigarettes?
In my office.
You're probably lying, but I can find out. Choke him a little more.
He's awake.
Say something, Polly. Something that will make us get fond of you.
Give me back my gun.
What would you want your gun for, Polly?
I want to shoot an Indian.
He wants to shoot an Indian. You need a bow and arrow. That's the law.
This guy is very tough.
He wants to shoot an Indian.
Listen, Hemingway, don't repeat everything I say.
I think this guy is nuts. He just called me Hemingway. Do you think he's nuts? What for did you call me Hemingway, Pally?
There are ladies present.
Would you think that would be some kind of dirty crack in his book?
Hurry it up.
You guys are cops. Yep.
What do you think, Pally?
I think this is Bay City. I think you are Bay City cops. I'm wondering why you were out of your territory up in Stillwood Heights.
Kind of hard to prove. Turn right at the next.
Who is this Hemingway person at all?
A guy that keeps saying the same thing over and over until you begin to believe it must be good.
That must take a hell of a long time. For a private dick, you certainly have a wandering kind of mind. Are you still wearing your own teeth?
Yeah.
Well, you certainly have been lucky, Pally.
This'll do.
Check.
The room was full of smoke. It hung in thin lines straight up and down like a curtain of beads. I reached up to feel my throat. My throat was sore, but the fingers feeling it didn't feel a thing. They might as well have been a bunch of bananas. Mail order fingers. I took hold of the sheet and wiped the sweat off my face with the fingers the correspondence school had sent me. Box 2,468,924, Cedar City, Iowa. Nuts. Completely nuts. In a hospital. The world outside the open windows was a black world. Why did the smoke hang motionless if the window was open behind the bars, huh? I got up and started to walk, wobbling like a drunk. A voice that seemed to come from under the bed said over and over again, "You've got the DTs, you've got the DTs." There was a bottle of whiskey on the table. The guy that left that bottle had a heart as big as one of Mae West's hips. I took a long, untidy drink. It had a funny taste. Time passed. Making animal sounds for help, I lay and watched the smoke. It wasn't there at all. I looked at my arm. It was full of pinpricks. Dope. Shot full of dope. I stood up and almost hit the opposite wall with my stomach. No fun walking. Better lie down and go back to sleep. Oh, I'm walking. I'm tough. I'm getting out of here. I lay down on the bed. The fourth time was a little better. I drank some water. I kept it down. I walked. I walked. I walked. It was the most beautiful bed in the world. They had got it for Carol Lombard. It was too soft for her. I walked. I walked. Then I stopped walking. I was ready to talk to somebody.
Bed spring. Just give me one bed spring. Fire! Hey! Hey, there's a fire here! Fire! Hey, is somebody there? There's a fire here! Fire! Right there!
He was alone. One of his keys opened the closet. I got my clothes. I moved down the corridor. I had my foot out to go down the stairs. I could see into a room. I had seen him before, over on Central Avenue. Mr. Moose Malloy had a nice room with furniture. He seemed to be in very good hands. I slid past and went down the stairs. This was a time to leave, to go far away. So, I stepped into the office.
Wait! You wait, brother. Stay away from the desk. I put your tough boy to sleep.
You have been a very sick man, sir. I can't recommend you being up and about.
I'll keep this gun for you, all right? Pour some whiskey. Two glasses. I tried your whiskey once. I damn near hit Catalina Island. You drink first.
Your health, sir. What remains of it?
Give it to me. What were you saying?
I made no remark.
Remarks? Want you to make them?
Please give me the gun. You have been a very sick man, Mr. Marlowe. I think I shall have to insist that you go back to bed. I am Dr. Sonderborg, and I don't want any nonsense.
What time is it?
It is almost midnight.
What day is it?
Sunday evening.
That's over 48 hours. No wonder I had fits. Who brought me here?
You were suffering from narcotic poisoning. You very nearly died. You had to be restrained.
Skim it. All I want is a cream.
The police puts you here.
What? Police?
The Bay City police, naturally. This is Bay City.
Did this police have a name?
It's Sergeant Galbraith. He said he found you wandering in a dazed condition. I brought you in because this place was close. I thought you were an addict who had taken an overdose. But perhaps I was wrong.
That's a good story. I couldn't prove it wrong. So long, Doc. I leave you to dirtier hands than mine.
My God, you look like Hamlet's father.
Well said.
I thought you were drunk. I thought you had to be drunk to come and see me. I thought you'd been out with that blonde. Oh, I don't know what I thought. Do you want some coffee?
I'll have the kind with the brandy in it.
At least you had the brains to look into those mouthpieces.
Oh, those calling cards didn't mean anything.
Here.
Thanks.
You sit there and tell me that, after the man had you beaten up and thrown into a 2-day liquor cure, why, the thing stands out so far, you could break off a yard of it and still have enough left for a baseball bat.
What sticks out?
That this elegant psychic is nothing but a high-class mobster. He picks the prospects and then tells the rough boys to go out and get the jewels.
I think it's a little more complicated than that.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I forgot for the moment that you were the detective. It would have to be more complicated, wouldn't it? I suppose there's a sort of indecency about a simple case.
It's more complicated than that. Can I have one more drink?
You know, you'll have to taste water sometime, just for the hell of it.
Well, Amthor's a pretty ruthless sort of a lad, but I don't see him as the brain guy for a jewel mob. If he was, I wouldn't have got out alive.
Oh, I bet you feel awful. Wouldn't you like to go to bed?
Here?
That was the idea.
But
I'm not a child. Who the devil cares what I do, or when, or how?
One of my rare moments of delicacy is coming over me. Will you drive me to a taxi stand?
Oh, you damn sap. You've been beaten and doped, and I suppose all you need is a good night's sleep to start out sleuthing again.
Listen, I don't think I ought to linger. These people might come looking for me, and the law in this town is pretty rotten.
It's a nice town.
So is Chicago. Will you take me to where I can get a taxi? Please?
Sometimes I think you're a world beater. And sometimes I think you're the worst heel I ever met.
She drove me all the way home. She drove like a fury. When I got out, she said goodbye in a frosty voice and was gone before I could get my keys out. I unlocked the door of my apartment and sniffed the smell of it, just standing there. A homely smell. A smell of dust and tobacco smoke. The smell of a world where men live and keep on living. I had nightmares that night and woke out of them sweating. But in the morning, I was a well man again. Until Detective Lieutenant Randall came to call.
Coffee?
If I drink some. Will you talk to me man to man without wisecracking?
I'll try.
Was that a gag about the hospital?
No gag. I ran into a little trouble down in Bay City.
Bay City? You like it the hard way.
The name's like a song. A song in a dirty bathtub. Here's your coffee.
Thanks. What were you doing down there?
These cops took me over the line. I went to see a guy in L.A., in Stillwood Heights.
Jules Amthor. Why did you swipe those cigarettes?
It looked funny, him having reefers.
You didn't swipe them. The girl told me.
Well, a guy never gets to do anything in this country anymore. Always women.
She likes you.
She's a nice girl. Not my type.
You don't like them nice?
I like smooth, shiny girls, hard-boiled and loaded with sin.
They take you to the cleaners.
Where else have I ever been? What do you call this session, huh?
I'm not getting much out of you either way.
Okay. I'll give you a theory. Marriott was a blackmailer. But he was also the finger man for the jewel mob. Women talk. They talk about anything. It got around that this Marriott was a kind of a tricky guy to go out with. That's why they knocked him off. Marriott was scared. At the last moment, he thought he better not go alone. And if anything did happen to him, he figured a little trick that would point to a man.
The man those cigarettes pointed to is not the type. He has a good record of his own. No, I think you're probably right. Marriott was a blackmailer. He had 23 grand in his safe deposit box. He also had a trust deed to a property on West 54th Place. Owner of record, Jesse Florian. Widow. You make good coffee. Let's you and me take a trip.
Do I have a choice?
What do you think?
Here's how it works, Marlo. It's what you privatize are up against in police work. You see, we get all the homicide reports. We're supposed to read them the same day. I didn't get around to some until this morning. Then I read one about a killing of a Negro at Florian's by a tough ex-con called Moose Malloy, and sink my putt if you weren't the witness. And Lieutenant Nulty is in on it. So I know the case is a flop. So I call Nulty, and he hemmed and hawed and spit a few times, and then he said you had an idea about some girl called Velma, and you went to see the widow of the guy that used to own Florian's, and her address was West 54th Place, trustee Lindsay Marriott. So I thought that was enough coincidence for one morning. And here we are. And so far, I've been pretty nice about it. I haven't said a word about withholding evidence. Not yet.
Well, the trouble is, it looks like more than it is. This Velma girl is dead.
You wouldn't be holding on to me, Marlowe.
I saw Moose Malloy last night in a private hospital for dope and liquor cures, run by a man named Sonderborg. Last night I had a crazy idea about going down there today and try and bust it alone.
Malloy was out of there 10 minutes after you left. You can bet on it. I'll have a state narcotics man go down there with a fake complaint and ask to look around.
Why not ask the Bay City cops?
Hey, Bay City is Lert Brunette's town. He bought it all complete. Gave it to himself for a Christmas present. We're here.
I think we should talk to the woman next door first. Old Nosy poked her nose outside the front door and sniffed carefully as if there might be an early violet blooming. Randall and I took our hats off. In that neighborhood, that probably ranked you with Valentino.
Good morning, Mrs. Morrison. Can we step inside a minute? This is Lieutenant Randall from headquarters.
Land's sakes. Come in. Come inside. She didn't get a registered letter. Saturday was the first of the month. She run out and called to the mailman. He shook his head and went on. She was mad. Sunday, she went out for liquor, and today...
Today, the mailman dusted on past again. This time, she was really sore.
Kind of a smart guesser, ain't you? Can't wait for folks to get their mouths open, hardly.
This is important.
This other gentleman don't seem to have no trouble keeping his mouth in place.
He's married. He's had practice.
Get out of my house before I call the police.
There is a police officer standing before you, madam. You are in no danger.
That's right, there is. Officer, I don't take to this man.
You have company, madam. So, Mrs. Florian didn't get her letter today.
Right. And there was people there last night in a car. I didn't see the number.
Mrs. Morrison, how many mail deliveries a morning are there?
Just the one.
Maybe you shouldn't claim to know everything, Mrs. Morrison.
We didn't need to go there to know what we would find. It was done with just a pair of hands. But what a pair of hands.
The moose had taken hold of Jessie Florian's neck just once. Then he shook her. She couldn't tell him who got the reward for turning him in. Randall started checking. Amthor and the Indian had left town. The house in Bay City was cleaned out and empty. Randall told me to let it lay. So I got the car out and drove down to Bay City. City Hall was a cheap-looking building for so prosperous a town. John Wax, chief of police, was far from cheap. Counting what I could see of what he wore, and not counting his wallet, he had half a grand on him. I figured his wife had money.
Trouble, Mr. Marlowe. Trouble is something our little city don't know much about. I look out of my western windows and I see the Pacific Ocean. Nothing cleaner than that, is there? I look out of my northern windows and I see the busy bustle of the boulevard and the lovely Californian foothills. I look out of my southern windows and see the finest yacht harbor in the world. I don't have no eastern windows, but if I did, I would see a residential section that would make your mouth water. No, sir. Trouble is a thing we don't have a lot of in our hands in Bay City.
I guess I brought mine with me, Chief. I'm not here without backing. I have important people behind me.
How far behind?
How far is Astor Drive, where Mrs. Lewin Lockridge Grail lives? Mrs. Grail happens to be my client.
Lock the door. You're a younger man than I am. You'd better be on the level, Marlowe. Hello. Can I speak to Mrs. Grail, please? This is the chief of police. We'll make a friendly start on this thing, Marlowe. Good afternoon, Mrs. Grail. I have a gentleman with me, a Mr. Marlowe. Do you know him? Yes. She wants to talk to you.
Thanks. This is Phil.
What are you doing with that fat slob?
Is there anything new? I guess you know what I mean.
Are you aware, my good fellow, that you stood me up the other night?
I ran into trouble. How about tonight?
Tonight is... What day of the week is it, for heaven's sake?
Friday.
Liar. It's Monday. Same time, same place. No fooling this time.
I'd better call you.
Hard to get. Perhaps I'm a fool to bother.
As a matter of fact, you are.
Why?
I'm a poor man, but I pay my own way.
All men are the same. Be there, Phil.
So, it's like that. Sam Galbraith in here. Unlock the door.
Yes, sir.
Galbraith will take good care of you.
You wanted me, Chief.
Meet Mr. Marlowe.
Why, Hemingway.
Yeah. Look after him, Galbraith. A personal favor for a friend.
You've certainly been very obliging, Chief. I certainly don't know how to thank you.
Welcome to Bay City, Mr. Marlowe.
Ah, you played that one smart, Valley. You must have got something we wasn't told about. What do you want?
What I want is why you put me in the funny house and why I was kept there.
Oh, all cops get sap-hungry once in a while. They just gotta crack ahead. It was just to dump you. But when Blaine swung at you, you dropped like a sack of cement. Jesus, was I scared. I told Blaine plenty. We're running you over to Sonderborg's on account of it was close and he would take care of you.
What's Sonderborg's racket?
I don't know. If we did, we would never have dumped you there. You wouldn't have ever come out, not walking. But maybe Blaine knew. You ever think of that?
There's a drug called scopolamine, truth serum. I think I was being milked to find out what I knew. But I don't think Moose Malloy knew I was there.
I can't even see your dust. Who the hell is Moose Malloy?
He's on your teletype for a killing. Sonderborg was hiding him.
Oh, crook hideout for hot boys. It figures. I thought he was peddling reefers, just a peanut grift.
Who runs this town?
Why do you want to know?
I heard a gambler named Laird Brunette put up $30,000 to elect the mayor so he could float two gambling ships.
Hey, look out to sea. I never seen those two ships move.
Where would you make for if you lost your hideout in this town?
Them ships are Panama Registry. They're supposed to be outside city and state jurisdiction. You gonna get tough in our town?
Not me, Hemingway. Not me.
The reflection of a red neon light glared on the ceiling. When it made the whole room red, it would be dark enough to go out. Outside the hotel, cars honked along the alley they called the Speedway. It got darker. The glare of the red neon sign spread further across the ceiling. I needed a drink. I needed a lot of life insurance. I needed a vacation. I needed a home in the country. What I had was a coat, a hat, and a gun. I put them on and went out of the room. Anne?
Marlowe!
I just wanted to hear your voice.
Well, what do you want me to say?
Be seeing you.
Be seeing you? Where are you?
I rode the little sidewalk car out to the ocean. Out to sea, they turned on the lights in the gambling boats. The black piers glittered their length and then disappeared into the dark background of night and water. I walked around and tried to see if anybody walked behind me in a particular way. Then I took the water taxi. There was plenty of room on the launch that early in the evening. All the company I had was three couples and the man who drove the boat, a tough-looking citizen who sat a little on his left hip on account of having a hip holster inside his pocket. The three couples began to chew each other's faces as soon as we left the shore. It was a long, smooth, even swell with just the right amount of heave to make me glad I hadn't pickled my dinner in bar whiskey. The Montecito began to sneak out of the night towards us. It was a converted seagoing freighter. Its landing stage lit up like a theater marquee. A lazy searchlight beam swept a circle about 50 yards from the ship.
Welcome to the Montecito. Just up the steps, ladies and gentlemen. You find all your favorite casino games. Roulette, blackjack, shimmy the fur. Excuse me, sir. Could you wait a moment, please, sir?
What's under the arm? No gats on the boat, laddie. Sorry and all that rot.
I'd say just part of my clothes. I could check it. I'm a fellow wants to see Brunette on business.
Never heard of him. We're not in Bay City now, not even in California. And by some good opinions, not even in the USA. Beat it.
I was back on dry land. They even gave me back my fare.
What's the matter, partner? No soap on the hell ship?
Go darn your shirt.
The gad is kind of bulgy.
Now what pulls your nose into it?
You got the wrong approach. Just call me Red.
Step aside, Red. The best people make mistakes. I feel one crawling up my back.
If you want to get on board the Monty, it can be done. If you got a reason.
How much?
$50. 10 more if you're bleeding my boat.
Forget it.
25. If you come back with friends.
I don't have any friends.
What's your racket? Private eye?
Yeah.
No expense account?
What's your racket?
I was on the cops here once. They broke me, so I just hang around here now, but I'm still a cop. You know what I mean?
You know a man named Brunette?
You want to fix him? I'm your man. Okay, here's how it works. There's a pier down the line without lights. I got a boat there. I know a landing port on the Monty I can open up. I take a load out there once in a while.
I have a searchlight. And look out.
Well, we can make it. One way.
Now, let's get going. I don't want this fog to blow away.
Look up ahead. You can see the searchlight now.
I'm scared. I'm scared stiff.
Yeah?
I'm afraid of death and despair. Of dark water and drowned men's faces and skulls with empty eye sockets. I'm afraid of dying, of being nothing, of not finding a man called Brunette.
You had me going for a minute. You sure give yourself a pep talk. Brunette might be any place. Is that all you want?
I want a man named Malloy.
We're in range. We'll make our move when the searchlight sweeps past again. Or do you want to go back?
No.
Okay. So far, so good. Can you see the loading doors?
I see them.
Okay. See if you can catch this rope.
I got it.
Right. There, that should hold us. Now, we got to climb these plates.
I can hardly wait.
I'll go first and get the door open. There are rungs bolted to the hull just here. Boost me up.
Okay.
Okay, I'm there.
Jesus, that's a noise.
Nobody heard us. Come on up. Okay, here. I got your arm.
Okay.
Two more rungs. Up. In we go. Now, it's a straight walk to the boiler room catwalk. There'll probably be only one guy there. The crew doubles in brass up on the play decks. From the boiler room, I'll show you a ventilator with no grating. A ladder in it goes up to the boat deck. Now, the boat deck is out of bounds. Will you come back fast?
I ought to make a good splash from the boat deck. I think this rate's more money.
Ah, you don't owe me nothing more, partner.
I'm buying the trip back. Handle the body as if it was your own.
I think you're scared.
I'll get over it. One way or another.
Now, I'll handle the guy below. That'll clear the way for you. Now, before we go, this open loading port here, it might buy you a break if you need to tell about it later. And I don't mind if you use it. Okay, let's go.
The wet air was as cold as the ashes of love. It seemed a long way to the top of the ventilator. Then, through the higher layers of fog, I saw a few bitter stars. There were two men behind a machine gun mounted to the boat rail. They didn't see me get out. They didn't have to. All the time, he was standing right behind me.
Sorry, guests are not allowed on the boat deck.
Oh, I guess I'm lost.
I guess you are. You come with a party?
A very nice party.
You ought to stay with them.
Well, you know how it is. You turn your head and some other guy is buying her a drink.
That gun won't buy you anything. You'll never get off the boat.
You're a brunette.
Of course. Let's go below to the play deck.
Now, who are you?
That's my card.
What do you want, Marlowe?
To talk to Moose Malloy. I'm investigating a murder. Two murders.
Suppose you tell me how you got in my boat.
Malloy was hiding out in Bay City with a Dr. Sonderborg. Malloy is hard to hide.
I'm in another business. How did you get on my boat? You don't leave if you don't tell me.
If I tell you, will you get word to Malloy?
What word?
I'll write a message for him on the card.
I don't make you out. You risk your hide to come out here to hand me a message to pass on to a thug I don't even know. There's no sense in it.
I met a guy. He brought me out and showed me a loading port that's left open from the inside. You ought to check on your crew. Somebody's cheating you.
Too bad nobody named Malloy is on this boat when you just played your ace, Marlowe.
Can you still get him the message?
The things I do. And the things they say I do. I run towns, I elect mayors, I corrupt police, I peddle dope, I hire out crooks, I heist jewels. What a lot of time I must have.
But, Marlowe, I do have a few contacts. Thanks for telling me about the loading port. It'll buy you a launch back to the shore and whatever else I can do.
I went back and paid Red off. He was another big man I had strangely liked. Then I drove home and called Mrs. Grail.
Is this another stand-up, Marlowe?
How about dropping by to pick me up?
Should I really bother?
I'll show you my etching.
Just one etching?
It's a single apartment.
Don't act so hard to get. But wait for me.
There was nothing left but prayer. I slipped the catch and let the doors unlocked. I laid out glasses and a bottle of liqueur scotch I had been saving for a really high-class seduction. I lay down on the bed. I fell asleep.
Marlowe! Marlowe!
Malloy!
I got your note. I make this joint clean. I don't make no cops outside. But if this is a plant, two guys goes out in baskets.
No copper knows anything about this. I just wanted to see you.
Well, I'll put the gun down. Hey, you ain't sick or anything.
No, I had a hard day.
Door was open. Hey, you expecting someone?
A dame.
What dame?
Just a dame. If she comes, I can get rid of her.
Well, what made you think I was on the ship?
A Bay City cop.
Bay City cop's after me!
Would that bother you?
A lot.
You killed Jesse Florian. That was a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd drop that one if I could. You take some awful chances, brother.
The way I've handled it, I don't know the difference anymore. You wanted her to tell you something.
Well, it's too late. Well, ain't it too late?
I know what you wanted her to tell you.
Yeah? But when do we do what you said on the card? I had a hunch you were leveling. Well, I wouldn't take the chance to come here otherwise. Where do we go? Hey, you get it. Be smart.
Who is it?
It's the Duchess of Windsor. Open up.
Go in the next room. Wait, I'm coming.
Okay.
Come in, Mrs. Grail.
You take your time. You're not dressed to go. I get the picture. Let's understand each other. I'm not this much of a pushover. There was a time in my life when I had too much of it. I like things done with an air.
Will you have a drink before you go?
Am I leaving?
You gave me the impression you didn't like it here.
I wanted to make a point, honey. Do I have to be a little vulgar to make it? I am not one of these promiscuous bitches. I can be had, but not just by reaching.
Okay.
I'll take a drink. I liked you a lot, but I could get over it. Most men are just lousy animals. In fact, it's a pretty lousy world.
Money must help.
You think it's going to when you haven't always had it? As a matter of fact, it just makes new problems.
I wouldn't know.
No. Not the way you live, honey. Let's get comfortable.
Well, let's talk a little first.
About what?
About murder.
Lynn Marriott was no saint, but I still don't want to talk about it. Not now.
I don't think he was working for a jewel mob at the time, either. I don't think he was going to that canyon to buy a jade necklace. I don't think the necklace was ever stolen. I think he went to that canyon so he could be murdered. He thought he went there to help commit a murder.
I don't understand you. Do we have to talk about it?
The trouble was, he was a very bad murderer. It's like that scene in Richard III, where the second murderer had certain dregs of conscience, but still wanted the money. And in the end, didn't do the job at all because he couldn't make up his mind.
And who was he supposed to murder?
Me.
Why?
I was trying to trace a singer named Velma. That was the reason Marriott was given. But there was a stronger motive for murdering Marriott.
Have you any proof of all this?
I didn't say I had. I said I thought these things. Now let's quit kidding. We're all alone here. Just my word against yours. A girl who started in the gutter. She gets lucky and makes a little sudden money. It buys her enough class to catch a millionaire. She gets a whole new life. But to keep it safe, an old woman has to be kept quiet. That wasn't so hard. She was cheap. But the man who helped to keep her paid off, the man who held the deed on her house, he was expensive. That didn't have to matter, so long as nobody else knew. But one day, Moose Malloy was going to get out of jail.
How did you meet him?
It was none of my business. You know what makes it funny? The big sap loved his little Velma, and he still does. So then I started nosing around. Marriott was the weak link. He would have melted under heat. So he was murdered. By you. Velma. All she did was take her hand out of her bag with a gun in it. All she did was point it at me and smile. All I did was nothing. But that wasn't all that was done.
I listened to that voice for 8 years. All I could remember of it. You can't change the sound, babe. I kind of liked your hair red, though. Hiya, Velma. Long time no see.
Stay away, Moose.
I never thought. It just came to me. It was you. You turned me into the cops. You. A little Velma.
The bullets made no more sound when they hit him than fingers going into a glove. Then she turned the gun on me.
Goddamn!
Moose. Moose.
Val.
It took 4 men to get him onto the stretcher. He died that night. Velma was gone. They wouldn't believe Grail hadn't helped her get away. But money wasn't hiding her at all. Although the way she hid was pretty obvious once it was found out. One night, 3 months later, a Baltimore detective with a camera eye as rare as a pink zebra wandered into a nightclub and listened to the band and looked at a handsome black-haired torturer who could sing like she meant it. Something in her face struck a chord, and the chord went on vibrating. He went back to headquarters and got out the wanted file. Then he straightened his straw hat and went back to the nightclub. He had a good eye, but he had over-specialized. He didn't know enough about women. She stood up and grabbed her bag and got her coat from a hanger. She went over to him, holding the coat out so he could help her into it. He stood up and held it for her like a gentleman. She slipped a gun out of her bag and shot him 3 times through the coat. She had 2 bullets left in the gun when they crashed the door. They got halfway across the room before she used them. The second shot must have been pure reflex. They caught her before she hit the floor, but her head was already hanging by a rag.
The dick lived until the next day. That's how we have the dope. I can't understand him being so careless unless he was thinking of letting her talk him into a deal. That would clutter up his mind. But I don't like to think that, of course.
I suppose you wouldn't.
You know something else? She was stupid to shoot the dick. We'd never have convicted her. Not with her looks and money and the persecution story these lawyers would have built up. Poor little girl from a dive, claims to be wife of rich man, and the vultures that used to know her won't let her alone. She did a smart thing to run off on her own and leave Grail out of it. But it would have been smarter to have come home when she was caught.
Oh, you believe now she left Grail out of it?
Yeah.
Do you think she had any particular reason for that?
I'll go for it. Whatever it is.
She was a killer, but so is Malloy. And he was a long way from being all rat. Maybe that Baltimore dick wasn't as pure as the record shows. Maybe
she saw a chance. Not to get away, she was tired of dodging by that time. But to give a break to the only man who had ever really given her one.
Hell, she didn't have to shoot a cop to do that.
Now, I'm not saying she was a saint. But what she did and the way she did it kept her from coming back here for trial.
Huh?
Think that over. Who would that trial hurt most? Who would be least able to bear it? And who, win, lose, or draw, would pay the biggest price for the show?
Grail.
Right. An old man who loved not wisely, but too well.
Ah, that's just sentimental.
Sure. It sounded like that when I said it. I said goodbye to him. I had a date with Ann Reardon. I rode down to the street floor and went out onto the steps of City Hall. It was a cool day and very clear. You could see a long way, but not as far as Velma had gone.
Ed Bishop was Philip Marlowe in Farewell, My Lovely by Raymond Chandler. Dramatized for radio by Bill Morrison. Moose Malloy was played by Clive Mantle. The bouncer and the hotel clerk, Doyle Richmond. Lieutenant Nulty, Blaine Fairman. Jesse Florian, Helen Horton. Ann Reardon, Susanna Fellows. Helen Grail, Elizabeth Bell. Red, Don Fellows. Detective Lieutenant Randall, Harry Taub. Jules Amthor and Laird Brunette, Peter Craze. Amthor's secretary, Zila Clark. Sergeant Galbraith, John Baddeley. Lieutenant Blaine and Joe, Paul Sir. Lindsay Marriott and Eddie, William Simons. Lewin Grail and John Wax, Alan Dudley. Mrs. Morrison, Diana Olson. Dr. Sonderborg and Second Planting, Anthony Jackson. The play was directed by John Tiedemann.